Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Wake me up when September ends. Hello again, friends. It's DJ Foster. You're listening to the Locked On Clippers podcast. Thanks for joining us. It's September. It's the middle of September. When is basketball coming back? I feel like I need to see some basketball. The Olympics are over. We're in this like little dry spell here. I've resorted to watching Australian rules football, which is highly entertaining. Not quite a basketball replacement, though. Not suitable. On today's show, we're going to talk about Paul Pierce and a recent report about how he's still unsure about coming back for his 19th season. We're going to discuss that. Doc Rivers made some really interesting comments in there. We're also going to discuss another former Boston Celtic and a potential signing for the Clippers down the line. And then lastly, we're going to talk about the Clippers TV deal. I don't know if everyone knows this, but the Clippers currently don't have a TV deal. Now, the chances that they still don't have one once the season starts are pretty low. But Prime Ticket, that deal expired, and the Clippers are currently working with them to try and figure out something new. Steve Ballmer, that kooky fella, owner of the Clippers, he's going to maybe do something that hasn't been done in any of the major four sports with this new TV deal. So we'll discuss that. We'll break all that down. But first, let's remind you where to send in questions and comments and all that good stuff. And to also review us. So if you have questions or comments for the show that you'd like to have answered or just read on the show, if you don't have a question, you just want to make a statement, that's cool. I'm all for it. Email me at fosterdj3@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter at foxsportsfoster. And make sure you give our show a review. 5 stars, preferably. If you want to do 4 stars, I mean, I guess. Is that good? Does that look bad when you see like a podcast that has like 4 stars? Would people still listen to that one? I don't know. So maybe just 5 stars if you're going to review. Do that on iTunes. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast on iTunes, do that as well. We're ramping up the coverage here as the season eventually begins in late October. Still September. Ah, so brutal. So make sure you subscribe, review, all that good stuff. And then lastly, make sure you check out all the podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network. It continues to grow. It continues to spread like a disease, except a good disease. Continues to spread like goodwill. None of those things. Make sure you check out the Locked On Podcast Network, though. If you're a football fan, we have ramped up the football coverage. LA Rams, we got a podcast for you. San Diego Chargers, you can commiserate and listen to the sadness that is San Diego Chargers. I'm a Chargers fan. I was in Vegas for week 1 of the football season, and when the Chargers went up 17 and Keenan Allen tore his ACL, because of course he did, I looked over to my brother. I said, the Chargers are going to lose this game. And he laughed because he knows I'm a lifetime Chargers fan, and so I kind of have a sense for when things are going to completely fall apart. And lo and behold, Chiefs come storming back from down 17, end up winning the game. Yeah. So if you want to subscribe to the Chargers pod, it really is a great podcast. You should subscribe to it. I know that's really not a great way to sell it. It's horribly depressing. No, it's a great podcast. So check that out and make sure you check out all the other NBA podcasts out as well. For right now, we're going to talk about Paul Pierce. I've had this queued up for a little bit. There was a report that came out from Chris Forsberg of ESPN.com. Some really good stuff in there talking about Paul Pierce and some really interesting quotes from Doc Rivers on Paul Pierce's future. And without getting too much into DJ Reed's the internet for you, there was a couple of little select quotes I want to point out here. I feel like I should go coach like 200 games before I read you a Doc Rivers quote so I could have the full Doc voice going. I wonder how long it would take to get your voice like that. Has he always talked like that? Like as a kid? Do you think his voice was just like raspy grown man voice? When did it become that? Because I feel like mine's going to be ruined soon here. Because I just scream at these kids. We don't need to delve into that. But I'm a terrible person and a horrible basketball coach. Okay, so Doc Rivers. He says he was asked by Chris Forsberg whether he was going to return. Whether Paul Pierce was returning for his 19th season. And then here's what Doc Rivers said. He says, "It depends on the day I talk to him. Paul has had the summer and he's gone back and forth. I think he has a right to do that. I really do." So, again, that's kind of confirming the reports that Paul Pierce hasn't really decided. He, you know, changed his mind every day. He's not really sure where to go. Doc Rivers continued. He said, "If I don't think they can play, then I tell them that. But I think Paul can play. I don't know how much he'll play, but he can play. I've always thought it's easy for someone else to tell you to retire. I think that's something that the player has to come to by himself." Completely agree with that, with Doc saying, you know, it's up to Paul Pierce. Not going to pressure him one way or the other. And part of me does want to believe Doc when he says, "If I don't think they can play, I'll tell him that." I think if Doc had no intention of putting Paul Pierce in the rotation whatsoever, he would probably do him a solid and let him know about that. At least that's what I'm hoping. Because when you really look at it, you don't want Paul Pierce coming back and thinking he's going to play and just ride the bench all year. There's not a whole lot of good that can come from that. And I don't think Paul Pierce wants that. I don't think Doc Rivers wants that. And I don't think anyone on the roster really wants that. So if Paul Pierce does come back, I think he's going to play. Now, is he going to play very much? No, probably not. You know, maybe an 8 to 10 minute game type role, and he'll get days off on back to backs. And you know, any time it's 3 games in 5 days, he's gonna sit one of those. And obviously, the Clippers, if he does come back, they want to preserve him. But I thought that was just an interesting quote from Doc saying that, hey, if I didn't think he was gonna play, and I don't think he can play anymore, I would tell him. And considering the relationship that they have, I'm inclined to believe that Doc would say, "Hey, I'm not going to be able to give you minutes. We got to go with these young guys. I hope you understand." I guess my only issue with everything with Paul Pierce potentially coming back is that he really shouldn't be taking minutes from Brandon Bass, who's a much better player at this point, a much better defender, better rebounder, better mid-range shooter, which I know sounds crazy, but he's just a better player overall. It's not even really that close. So if Pierce does come back, it's tough to imagine him being a more productive player than Brandon Bass. And when you're playing behind Blake Griffin at the four, you're not going to get a lot of minutes anyway. Pierce can't guard threes or wings anymore, and he needs to kind of play that small ball four position. But with Brandon Bass and Bryce Johnson, hopefully in the mix, and Maurice Spates, there's just not a lot of front court minutes there. So maybe you do play him as a three, and then he's taking Wes Johnson's minutes. Okay, maybe that's not the worst thing, but it certainly doesn't help the Clippers bench unit in my mind. With Jamal Crawford and Austin Rivers, you got shot creators. You got guys who, you know, are obviously going to look to score their own buckets first. Johnson is a much better fit as an athlete out on the wing I know he's not a really good defender, but he's a way better defender than Paul Pierce at this point, right? He can actually move and run and jump. And last year, he was a much better spot-up shooter. And I think that's the most troubling thing about Paul Pierce from last year. It wasn't necessarily how he was moving or how he was defending. We expected that to fall off at age 38. What I think most people didn't expect was for him to shoot 31% from the three-point line and 36% from the field. 36% from the field. He was genuinely one of the worst players in the NBA last year, and I don't think that's hyperbole. When you look at those shooting percentages and consider what he was giving you defensively, and if you look up all the, you know, the real plus-minus and everything that, pretty much everywhere you look... says Paul Pierce wasn't a productive player. Minus 2.58 real plus minus on ESPN. He was the 63rd ranked small forward. Checking in right along the lines with guys like James Ennis and Michael Beasley, James Michael McAdoo, Kyle Singler. Not really a murderer's row here. And that's 63 out of 76. Nick Young, Shabazz Muhammad, like all guys in this range. Not really the company that you want to keep. So, if he's taking Bryce Johnson's minutes as a four, that's a tough pill, I think, for Clippers fans to swallow. If he's playing the three, best of luck defensively with Jamal Crawford and Paul Pierce as your 2-3 combo coming off the bench. It gives more reason for Doc to stagger lineups, I guess. But yeah, it's just hard to imagine Pierce being a really good contributor. I'd love to think that he'll have a rebound season, but with all the miles he's put in, all the minutes, all the abuse, geez, man, this guy's body, I just don't know how it's gonna hold up. It's 19th season as a small forward. Those guys just don't come around very often, and Pierce has had an incredible career, but it certainly looks like it's coming to a close. Again, you don't want to tell someone when they should retire, and I understand that Rivers owes it to Pierce that if he says he wants to play, that, you know, he should give him some minutes and see how it works out. There's really no harm in doing that. Sticking with him, though, if he continues to be as ineffective as he was last year, that's where the real problems begin.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Geico's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with Geico, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than Geico. More power to you. Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
So that's the situation with Paul Pierce. It's still kind of one big, I don't know, emoji. You know, the one with the guy that has the two hands up, that's like, and makes that noise. That's where we're at with Paul Pierce. We'll see if he comes back. I'm going to be totally hypocritical for a minute here now. And I realize it. You're okay to be a hypocrite if you pointed it out before, right? Is that how that works? I'm really intrigued by some comments that Doc Rivers made about a former Celtics player, and you may be surprised to hear who it's about. He's talking about Ray Allen. And Chris Forsberg is a Boston guy, so they have that relationship. It makes sense that Forsberg would ask him about Ray Allen, because he knows they keep in touch. But listen to this. I'm going to read this to you. It says, Rivers talked with Allen this summer, but wouldn't tip his hand on whether he thought Allen would resume his NBA career after sitting out the past two seasons. And this is Doc Rivers talking about Ray Allen. Doc Rivers voice. I don't know. That was really bad. I don't know. I won't talk about what we talked about. I think if Ray was in the right spot, he may play. I think Ray wants to golf a lot, too, right now. But Ray is in amazing shape. I don't know how he does that. I didn't know he could do that as a player. I don't know how he could do it as a non-player. He's probably in top 5 shape in the NBA. So could Ray play? Absolutely, I believe he could. Huh. He's probably in top 5 shape in the NBA. So could Ray play? Absolutely, I believe he could. Again, that's Doc Rivers talking about Ray Allen, who is now 41 years old. Talking about 41-year-old Ray Allen saying he could absolutely play. Am I the only one that's smelling a comeback? We've heard some buzz about this offseason about Ray Allen possibly wanting to come back in the right situation. Let me break down this situation for you. The Clippers are a title contender. The Clippers play basketball in Los Angeles, which has one of the best climates in the world. Being cold sucks when you're 41, because your bones just, like, freeze up, or so I've heard. I know it's not fun at 30 years old, being somewhere where it's, like, 20 degrees for 6 months out of the year. So I can't imagine how it is as a 41-year-old athlete. So, LA, you got the climate, you got the big city, you got the all the draws of Los Angeles, as per usual. He's got his former coach in Doc Rivers. He's got possibly returning Paul Pierce as a teammate to kind of wrap up. You know, those two can finish it out together as teammates. I believe they're still close. Don't quote me on that, but I believe they are. They're still close with Doc Rivers. We know that. So I could kind of see this happening. Now, what would need to happen for this to be a fit? I think Ray Allen would need to say, okay, I'm coming back. This is when I'm coming back. I don't think he has any interest in going through a training camp, and I don't blame him. So I could see this happening at some point during the year, especially if J.J. Redick has his back problems rear their ugly head. If Jamal Crawford finally stops being so weirdly durable at his age. If the Clippers suffer any injuries on the wing, I could see it happening. I could see him going and getting Ray Allen. And, yeah, maybe I shouldn't be excited for this if I'm totally down on a Paul Pierce return. But here's the thing. Even at 41, I think Ray Allen, not just because he's in great shape, like Doc Rivers said, just because I don't think his shooting will fall off. I know everyone kind of falls off eventually. But Ray Allen, the last time we saw him, 2013-2014, he was still a 37.5% three-point shooter. The year before that, he shot nearly 42%. He's still going to be great at the free throw line. He's never going to get fouled, but he's still going to be great at the free throw line. And a killer spot-up shooter. And he can move, presumably, a little bit better than Pierce can. So is that an upgrade on the wing? In my mind, yeah. I don't think it makes sense until someone gets hurt. But based on what we've seen from Redick in his career in the past, I could see this being a good fit. And I know everyone would laugh at Doc Rivers. Ha ha ha. He thinks it's 2008 still. He's, you know, signing all his former players. Of course he brings on Ray Allen because he's a Celtic. But I'm a hypocrite because I would want to see it. I would want to see what a guy who's been out of the NBA for 2 years at age 41, one of the greatest shooters of all time. I want to see if he could still do it. And I think Ray Allen might want to see if he could still do it. So that's really interesting to me. We'll see if it happens. I know I'm a hypocrite. I know. I bark about the Clippers getting young players with potential and upside who can defend, someone who can slot into wing and cover another team's best player. I'm broken, guys. I'm broken. I'm tired of hoping for that. It's not going to happen. The best case scenario is the Clippers get some veterans who can, you know, play, and Doc Rivers will actually play them and not the rookies, but hopefully the veterans will play well. And for storyline purposes, I really want to see Ray Allen come back. 41-year-old shooting guard. It would just be so much fun. So that's the latest on Paul Pierce, Doc Rivers, and Ray Allen. A lot in those quotes to read about. Again, check out the article on ESPN.com. It's Chris Forsberg. Posted about a week ago. I've been sitting on it. But, yep, those are my takes there. My old takes, I guess. I don't know. The Ray Allen is kind of a hot take. Because a lot of people, I think, assume he would go to Golden State. Which, I mean, maybe that's fair. But I think the reunion with Rivers and Pierce is makes for a better story, at least. I don't know if that matters very much to Ray Allen. He might be like, I want the better shot at a ring, which exists in Golden State for right now. At least until Draymond Green sabotages that team. That's I guess, a story for a whole nother day. We'll see what happens. Lastly, we're going to wrap it up here. Lastly, let's talk about this TV deal. So, New York Post released a story today that the Los Angeles Clippers and Steve Ballmer are weighing a deal with the cable channel Prime Ticket, who carried all the Clippers games, that would allow the team to retain streaming rights, according to the New York Post. If the Clippers and Prime Ticket inked the TV rights deal, it would be the first among the four major sports leagues where the team kept streaming rights. Now, if you're like me, you read this and you were like, what are streaming rights? And the way I understand it is that the Clippers would be able to stream their games online for Prime Ticket subscribers on phones and computers and all that good stuff. That's how I understand it. That could be wrong. Hopefully not, but it's interesting that the Clippers would be the first team in the big four sports to have those rights and to do it. According to the report, there's a better than 50-50 chance that Steve Ballmer will sign the deal, and the NBA is expected to give the deal a thumbs up. So, good news, if you're in the Los Angeles area, that the Clippers are going to re-up with Prime Ticket. That means no changes, presumably, to the announced team of Ralph Lawler and Mike Smith, which, you know, obviously needs to be the case, or else we riot. Could you imagine? Oh, can you imagine if Ralph Lawler wanted to announce another season, and some bummy network executive, like, nixed it? Is that even legal? I don't think that's how contracts work and how things work, but I'm just, like, pre-mad about any scenario like that. Ralph Lawler, you get to announce for as long as you want. You're a legend. I think I'm seeing, like, all the Vin Scully stuff, and I love Vin Scully, too, and, like, I totally get it. I just hope that when it comes time for Ralph, when he decides to hang it up, you know, enjoy his life, enjoy his family. I really hope that we give him the kind of treatment that he deserves, just as a fan base. I really hope that he gets the national attention that Vin Scully is getting right now. I understand it's different, and I'm not comparing the two necessarily and saying, you know, that it should be equal or whatever. I just, like many of you, one of the only things keeping you watching Clippers games for all those years was Ralph Lawler and his jokes and just his dry sense of humor and just everything about him was one of the only reasons to tune in to watch a game. I just really hope that he gets, you know, he gets the recognition for the incredible announcer that he is. But anyway, that's a side note. So, the Clippers' past deal with Prime Ticket ended in June, so this sounds like it could be happening pretty soon. Good news for streaming, I guess. I gotta figure out what this means. I think it just means that we can stream games, that the Clippers can offer a streaming service to Prime Ticket customers, and that it's owned by the Clippers, so it can go through, like, a Clippers website? Isn't this incredible that the former manager of the Clippers website doesn't understand what this means? They made a great decision in firing me. We'll see what happens there. That's the end of every story right now. We'll see. Paul Pierce come back, we'll see. Ray Allen sign with the Clippers, we'll see. Will the Clippers get a TV deal with streaming rights? We'll see. But that's the off season for you, ladies and gents. We're going to wrap this show up. We will be back soon. I don't want to put a date on it, but we will be back soon. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Again, if you have questions, if you want to tell me what streaming exclusive streaming rights means for me, email at fosterdj3@gmail.com, and make sure you review us again. Thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoy your day.
I'll hit the game winner. It's not over, babe. I'll hit the game winner. Baby, believe in me. I'll hit the game winner.